Hey everyone, what is up? My name is Tony McGeehee, and you're listening to Emerging Entrepreneurs, the podcast made by an entrepreneur for entrepreneurs. Thanks for tuning in. Now let's get started. Welcome back to episode 4. If this is your first time tuning in, welcome home. You guys are awesome, and thank you so much for joining me. We've got a great guest for you today. I know you're going to love it. Wednesday Hugis is the program leader for Foster Friends of Central Florida, which focuses on providing temporary housing and other necessities for foster kids. In this episode, Wednesday talks about her connection with the organization I Prevail and how Foster Friends of Central Florida began. Wednesday is also a pharmaceutical sales rep with 20 years of experience under her belt. You guys are going to love this episode. Please go follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Emerging Entrepreneurs Podcast. Also, please leave a review on iTunes and share the podcast with your friends. I can't wait to pass Wednesday's story along to you guys, so let's jump right in. Welcome back, everyone, to episode 4. I'm here with Wednesday Hugis. She is the program director of foster assistance with an organization called I Prevail. With her organization, she looks to improve the lives of at-risk children who live in the Central Florida community. She began this just a few years ago. She also works in pharmaceutical sales and just celebrated her 20th anniversary with that. Wednesday, welcome on. Thank you so much.
I appreciate you coming out today.
Yeah, of course. So if you just want to start, go ahead, tell the audience a little bit about what you do with I Prevail, how
Absolutely.
You got started.
So I just recently moved from Oviedo. My next door neighbor, Tina Marinshaw, and her husband and another one of our friends had started a nonprofit for disaster relief in the Philippines called I Prevail. The organization is 100% volunteer. And no one draws a salary. 100% of your donations go directly to whatever aspect of the nonprofit that you want to help. So we had a group foster home down the street that had 16 foster girls, 16 age, not 1-6. Mm-hmm. And as neighbors, we decided maybe we should try to do something nice for them last Valentine's Day. The nice thing is I also run some large homesteading groups online. I used to have a large farm with chickens and rabbits on 13 acres. And I reached out to my friends in the homesteading community and said, hey, are there things you can donate that if you lived in a foster home and you were a teenage girl, you'd enjoy? So homemade lip balms and beauty products and things of that nature. And so Tina, my next door neighbor, and her friends began to raise money for an Xbox for these young ladies, because I think most of us take for granted with our own children or being a young college person that that's not something that everybody has. The foster girls in this particular group home come from some of the most broken and damaged situations. You're talking severe sexual and physical and emotional abuse that makes it almost impossible to place them in traditional foster homes with families because they worry about those families not being able to handle the issues. So the average stay is about 80 days in these group homes, but you have some girls who have been there for several years and some who only stay a few days. So what we decided to do was to have the barbecue. It was great. We had a big Valentine's Day party. We all brought in food. But from there, we decided we didn't want it just to be a one-time event. So we decided I would create Foster Friends of Oviedo at the time. The name's now Foster Friends of Central Florida. And it would be underneath I Prevail, the nonprofit. So that way we could do nonprofit work, but we wanted something that was grassroots. No one on the board takes a salary. Nobody is doing this for special recognition or as a vanity project. We really just wanted to help these young people feel like they had community parents, that even if they lived in a group home, that they weren't forgotten.
Okay. So what... how did you get the idea to, you know, start this? Where did the idea come from? Was it just something that you thought of randomly or really how did you start
it? That's a good question. So I have two boys. One is 13 and one is 15. And my 15-year-old has been gone for 17 months in a group home in Montana for drug and alcohol addiction. So when he was home, I didn't have the emotional energy to do anything other than try to help my son. Once he went away for treatment to Montana, and essentially lives in a group home, but it's because of his choices, I decided these young ladies lived in a group home through no fault of their own, and I had the desire to give back to my community. I figured growing up in Oviedo, I went to Oviedo High School, I went to Valencia, I went to Rollins. I had never heard that there was a group home that had been there for 20 years. Now, partly that's because they want privacy and they don't want the girls to feel like they're in a fishbowl. But also our community didn't know that there was a foster home right in their own backyard. Many neighbors didn't even know in our community that these children existed. And so for me, once my son was in a safe place to get help, I decided, other than just doing a barbecue, which was not my idea, but was a fantastic idea by friends of ours, what could we do more to make their lives better?
Okay. And now, what kind of initiatives or what kind of, you know, projects do you guys do with the girls that are in the home? You know, how do you acclimate them to their new home and really make them feel like they're at home and give them good lives?
So the nonprofit, we're a nonprofit that works with a nonprofit that runs these group homes. And our initiatives include trying to give each of the children new bedding when they arrive. Many of them come from situations with just the clothes on their back. And sometimes it's several days before a caseworker can get back to the home that they came from to give them clothing. So in the Oviedo house, we initially started a foster closet so that they could shop when they first got there. But now what we've been doing is not all foster kids want to dress in old lady donated clothes. Yeah. And so we wanted them to feel comfortable in their own skin. So we give them a $50 gift card to TJ Maxx so that they can go with staff and pick out items that they would feel comfortable wearing. We try to do underwear and like sports bra and boxer drives just because we also have boys' homes that we serve that we can talk about. Mm-hmm. But we want them to have at least brand new bedding and clean undergarments when they get there so that they don't feel so alone. And then what we try to do as an organization is we do special dinners for birthdays. We have tutors that go into the home because most of these kids have lost up to 1 year academically from all of the different mm-hmm. placements they've been pulled out of. Yeah. We try to partner with local businesses like NASCAR and International Drive or Andretti in Melbourne, which is like a sort of a NASCAR-like experience to yeah. take the kids out to do things like paintball and zip lining, painting their own pottery, just things that you would want to do that these kids don't necessarily get the opportunity to do so because they get less than $500 per child from the state per month.
Yeah.
And that includes food and clothing and everything else. And you can imagine if cheerleading costs $500,
yeah.
there's probably not an opportunity for additional funding for these kids exactly. to get to do normalcy. Mm-hmm.
So what does your day-to-day look like with the organization? I know you do pharmaceutical sales yep. as your full-time job.
Yes.
Are you still doing you know, day-to-day activities with the foster homes or, you know, what is your schedule?
So when we started, I tried to be everything to everybody in the organization just because, you know, when you're first starting out, you're trying to get volunteers to come out and help. We've been so fortunate by the response. So we started with the Oviedo House, but we found out that there's five homes within the nonprofit that we serve. So there's one in Oviedo, there's one in Union Park, there's one in Palm Bay, there's one in Cocoa, and there's one in Winter Garden. That was the first initiative that we said, like, if we can get new bedding and do parties and make these kids feel welcome at one home, how about we expand out from there and see if we can serve the other five homes mm-hmm. Within this nonprofit? Each of those homes serve up to six children. The ages are usually 12 or 13 up to 18 years old. So we branched out from first the Oviedo House, and then we were able to serve all of those other houses with the same sort of initiatives. New bedding. When they age out, they get an aging out basket with a gift certificate to shop for what they need. They get a welcome basket when they come in. So what my initiative was to find house parents. So you'd have a volunteer at each house so that I didn't have to clone myself that okay. could be the point person to work with the other nonprofit to say, hey, we have a new kid coming in, or it's somebody's birthday, or we really need a tutor that can help these young people. And we've been really fortunate. We now have a pretty comprehensive network of volunteers, but we always need more. And it's anyone over 18 can come into the home to help us. So my day-to-day looks more like fundraising opportunities where I look for ways that we continue to fund the activities that we do. Once a month at least, we have homemade, we have store-bought food sent in so that they can have something special and different. Mm-hmm. But volunteers sign up to make homemade meals on Friday nights for these children as well. So it's not because they need the food. It's because it's nice to know that there's people out in the community thinking about you as compared to just another frozen chicken meal that came from the store that, you know, was prepared by staff members, but not necessarily in a way that makes you feel recognized.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm sure, you know, with new girls and new boys coming into the homes, you know, some of the ones that stay longer, has, you know, there ever been a time while you've been doing this where you've kind of created a relationship with the kids, but then, you know, they've kind of, they've left the house and went on. And, you know, what are those relationships like? Is it hard to let go sometimes? Is it hard for them?
Yeah, I think what we see in this country, and just so people understand, at 18, you have the opportunity to either go to college or trade school, and the state will pay for that. But unfortunately, many of these children have come from such damaging and abusive situation. They've had no mentors, no role models that what is college? What's trade school? A lot of times they end up back. They desperately want to go back to the families that gave them up in the first place that may have abused or neglected them. And so maybe less than 5% of our kids end up going on to either college or trade school. We got involved with an organization that offers transitional housing for these kids who are 18 to 24. They take the state stipend that is paid for them to go to school and for housing, and they live, it's near Lake Howell High School, which is in the Winter Springs area, and they have a girls' home and a boys' home. So we're now serving that transitional house as well with things like welcome baskets, activities, meals. So it's rare. They ask that, for privacy reasons, that we don't give the children our cell phones and things like that when they age out, because unfortunately sometimes you can be exploited by families who see you as an opportunity to maybe get rent money or some additional things. So what we do is we rely on the nonprofit that we are in touch with to try to update us and let us know how those kids are doing. Okay. We just had an 18th birthday party for a young lady at Oviedo who aged out, and it was really wonderful. So we'll be seeing what happens to follow up with her progress. But yeah, it is hard, and we've actually had one adoption that's come about from our volunteers.
Really?
So at the Union Park House, one of our volunteers was really taken with a young man who was in that particular home, and went through the adoption process and actually adopted him.
Wow, that's incredible.
Never thought that a barbecue would end up changing someone's life.
Exactly. Where do you see in the future, where do you see kind of the future of the foster homes? Do you see, do you want to branch it out across all of Florida, or, you know, what is the future?
You know, that's a great idea. We have sort of a unique situation here because these group homes don't seem to exist everywhere else in Florida that we've found so far. We have the five that are here in Central Florida. We also have the transitional homes, but that serve our 18 to 24-year-olds. But if we were able to get enough volunteers across the state of Florida, we'd love to be Foster Friends of Florida. I mean, right now we probably have 1,200 people on our Facebook group, but you have a very small active core of people who are helping people who bring meals in, people who want to work with the kids. And so our initiative is to really get more people involved, because if the same people are always volunteering, you worry that they're going to get burnt out. Or if they're college students who are kind enough to come and help when they graduate, of course, they move on. So for us, we really are looking to continue to be able to serve these homes. As the kids change, if you can help even a very small percentage of them feel like someone cared about them and you can change their lives in that regard, that will make all the difference to us.
Mm-hmm. So how can people in the community get involved with the foster homes? How can we help and volunteer?
That's awesome. If you go to our Facebook group, which is Foster Friends of Central Florida, we have sign-up lists for meals, so you can sign up to bring a meal in. If you have a community service organization that you belong to and you wanted to do a fundraiser for, like, the clothing drives we talked about, so boxers, all sizes of undergarments for the kids, that's always much appreciated. We also sometimes will do the bedding drives for like a bed in a bag with comforters so that when the kids age out, they can take their bedding with them if they so choose. Mm-hmm. We have a wish list on our Facebook group that says what we need. Sometimes the kids need new plates or bowls, things like that. And we just try to individualize it. So, you know, we don't have the money a big corporation would have, but what we do have is the kindness of the community who's been super generous to make sure these kids are getting what they need on top of what the state provides.
Yeah, for sure. I don't know if you guys can hear it, but there is a cat outside meowing, so I don't know if the microphone's picking that up, but
I can let him in if you would like.
If it is, if the microphone is picking that up, don't question me why there's a cat. There's Wednesday's cat is outside meowing at us to let them in.
He wants me to know that he is very appreciative of all of your kindness towards foster kids.
Just staring at us. So with your job in pharmaceutical sales as well, you know, I know we were talking earlier when I first got here. It seems that, you know, naturally, even in your job there, you know, you enjoy helping people. You know, some of the products that you do sell, they also help people. So talk a little bit about that job and how that kind of relates to what you do.
So I've had the same pharmaceutical job with AbbVie for the last 20 years. And the nice thing is my company is really big on giving back. We just completed a service project across the world where I think we had 56 sites. I went to Tampa with a group of other employees to fix up a school in an impoverished area. So we also have a matching program within my company. If you donate money, they'll match that amount. So the nice thing is you see it in both your personal and professional life that if you're willing to help others, that gives back. We have a patient assistance for those who can't pay. So if there's medication and you need it, and it's $4,000 a month and you aren't on state assistance or you don't have a job, we will cover that for you at no charge. So what I've seen with the flexibility in my job is it allows me to do my personal work. Like today I'll go to Jacksonville to work when we're done, but I can also help set up fundraisers. I can also get online and ask people for what we need. And it's not a 9-to-5 desk job where I'm stuck somewhere and don't have that ability to help.
Yeah. How did you get into the job in pharmaceutical sales?
It's a good question. So I went to Valencia and Rollins and had a 4.0, and it's pharmaceutical sales is one of the most competitive jobs. You're talking probably 500 people apply for one job, and people don't leave those positions once they get them because they have great benefits. They have work flexibility. So I was working, I got accepted to law school in Louisiana and was fortunate that my uncle was an anesthesiologist. So he said, have you considered pharmaceutical sales? So he introduced me to his rep. I was lucky because I'd been interviewing for 6 other months with other companies. And it didn't matter if you were the top of your class. It was very, very hard to get in. So I've been with them ever since, and it's been great. If you want to know about one of our recent projects, we had one of our volunteers, her family started a nonprofit. So what we see is a lot of the nonprofits helping other nonprofits here. They took out a $30,000 loan, and they did a production of Annie at the auditorium right down here. And they were able to donate $7,000 to the foster kids. They sold out the arena. It was the community theater, and they had all volunteer actors. They started it themselves. They had all volunteers that did the audio, that did lighting. Wow. They were able to pay their loan back that they took out just for this production, donate $7,000 to us, and also save money to do another nonprofit production next year. So that's the sort of really amazing community teamwork that we see, that people really take a risk to help children they don't know. Mm-hmm. And the foster homes were able to come out and see the production and go to dinner at Wahlburgers as well. And then Wahlburgers made a donation of 20% of all the meals that were purchased over the weekend.
Nice.
So just the need to get involved in your community. I think whether it's with foster kids or whether it's with animals, I think that if everyone just gave back a little bit and left the community better than they found it, it'd be a much better world. Because with our foster kids, it doesn't matter if you're gay or straight or African-American or Caucasian. We all have the need to be loved and accepted for who we are. So for me, and I think for our group, we're such a diverse group of people that it doesn't matter if you're religious, if you're a humanist, if you just want to help people, there's a place for you in our group. So please check out iwillprevail.org. Please check out Foster Friends of Central Florida on Facebook. And you can also reach out to me. My name is Wednesday Hugis, and you can find me online, and I can put you in touch with our resources. So I really appreciate you coming out to talk to me today. Yeah. And thank you for enduring my very loud big mouth cat here in the background as our mascot.
Of course. I do actually have one more question.
Okay.
Before I do that, I just want to take a moment to tell you how much I appreciate you doing this. Also, how much people, whether they realize it or not, how much they appreciate what you do. Not a lot of people have as big of a heart as you do, and it's definitely nice when you get to meet people like that. So definitely appreciate you for that.
Well, I appreciate it. And I'm not alone. I mean, everyone on our board of directors has the same passion to help people, and it's really nice to see that they're not asking for anything in return, that really the goal is to help these young people be just successful in life if possible. So I'd like to take all the credit, but really without the board of directors and without all these volunteers, we wouldn't be where we are today. And it's everything from people coming out to dinner for a fundraiser or donating a blanket so that a foster kid has something soft when they first arrive there. We just appreciate the kindness, and thank you for your kind words.
Yeah, of course. So my last question for you, it's one that I ask everybody on my podcast.
Sure.
So it's called The Three Truths.
Okay.
At the end of your life, you know, you've done everything that you've wanted to. You've impacted all the foster kids possible across the entire world. You've become the best pharmaceutical sales rep ever in history. Everything that you've ever wanted to do, you've done. You've accomplished it. But for some reason, at the end of your life, everything is wiped away, and the only thing that people will have to remember you by is the three things that you write down on the piece of paper next to your bed. So what are your three truths?
I was funny, I was kind, and I tried my best.
There you go. All right, you guys heard it first. Thank you so much, Wednesday, for doing this with me. Hope you guys enjoyed it. We'll see you on the next episode. There you have it. Wednesday is such a kind-hearted person and truly has a passion for helping others. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Make sure to go join Wednesday's Facebook group at Foster Friends of Florida and look them up online at iwillprevail.org. I want to take this moment to let you know that I'm starting something new that will start during next week's episode. From now on, leave a review on iTunes or SoundCloud for a chance to be shouted out on next week's episode as the fan of the week. Again, make sure to share this with your friends and follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Emerging Entrepreneurs. Make sure you leave those reviews, become the fan of the week. Thanks for tuning in, and I'll see you on the next episode.